Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How are each and every one of you doing up there? I guess the announcements were just a little bit too long and my music didn't play, but praise God, I am still here. And you know what? God is still on the throne. We're still in the land of the living, and I thank Him so much for another blessed day. And hopefully, if it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener and supporter of A Voice of a People, I thank you so very much for tuning in today. All right, I am live right now on www.wwgh107.1fm. I'm sorry. 1071.com. I'm live right now on that TuneIn app. And all you have to do is search in your search bar. After you download it, type in WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944 if you just want to be a part of the show today. I do, along with you supporters and first time tuning in, there are others that also support this show and have from the very beginning, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. And that number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce will begin in April of 2026, and the announcements will come from here. And if not, check their website, www.logoschristianministries.com. Also, we had been lifting up prayer, those who have been having health challenges, whether they had lost a loved one or whatever situation one might find themselves in, that they feel overwhelmed or inadequate to get through it. You know, we want to lift them up in prayer. But I have had some praise reports, and I have asked any of you who were listening to pray for Cheryl Lee. We've had some great reports of her overcoming and getting better. I have also asked you to pray for me, and I am doing better as well. I thought I was going to have to take some time off the radio, but it only ended up being like one Thursday, and praise God for that. And I am back and on my feet, and I thank and praise God for that. Okay, now we are going to move along. We are in the month of February, and you know we all just got through Valentine's Day. And hopefully all of you had a great Valentine's Day. Another time to reflect on your love for your family and for your friends and for those who had no one to say Happy Valentine's Day to. You know, we also have to reach out to other people and not be greedy and want to heap all the goodness and the love and just, you know, empathy for ourselves. We want to be able to reach out to other people who may not have anyone. And there are many people out there like that. So hopefully you are able to shed some light and sunshine and love on someone else's day for Valentine's Day. And last Thursday, I failed to mention that it was President Lincoln's birthday, but I did have a guest from the Marion County Historical Society who brought it to our attention. Okay, so we just celebrated Ash Wednesday. So a lot happened this week. The National Flag of Canada Day. Susan B. Anthony's birthday was on the 15th. On the 16th was President's Day, actually. Family Day, everyone wants to get in on a day and want to be recognized, right? Family Day, Alta, BC, NB, Ontario, I guess. I don't know what that is, but anyway. Tuesday the 17th was Lunar New Year. Ramadan begins at sundown. Mardi Gras, Alabama and Louisiana. annular solar eclipse, not visible in North America, and the new moon. So all those things happened this week. Ash Wednesday was yesterday. And 19 has a little quote, squirrels often chew maple branches to make sap start dripping. They will then hang upside down by their feet to drink it. Wow. Nature has a way of doing what it's supposed to do without being coerced or beaten over the head, right? Or falling in a ditch. They just automatically do what they are supposed to do. Who would have known, at least I would not have known, that squirrels chew maple branches, and in doing this, it starts the sap dripping. Wow. And squirrels, what? Hang upside down to drink it. I do not like squirrels. I don't know about you. They are so mischievous and mean, I think. So, that is a catch-up of this week. And I guess tomorrow commemorates Heritage Day. Okay. Alrighty. So, that's what happened this week. The celebrations and all of that. Things for us to remember. I have a couple announcements. Heart of Ohio Homeless Shelter, let's not forget them, that they do need our help. The homeless is one of our largest growing populations, as well as elderly, 50 and up. You know, that's a large part of our population as well. So let's not forget those less fortunate. They do need, like, copy papers and envelopes and stamps and toilet paper and paper towels and 13-gallon trash bags. They also can use laundry detergent, floor cleaner, bleach, disinfectant spray, dish soap, bath towels, and washcloths. And you can also call them at 740-383-4550. They also are always looking for volunteers to help at the facility. And as we all know, we are celebrating the 250th year of our United States birthday, right? And this is, I guess there was a lot of trail stops in January, and it looks like I'm going to have to go pick up one for February, because this one must be over. And I don't know how often they were doing this. But they had, a lot of stuff that I missed. I did go to the kickoff ceremony at the Marion County Historical Society. I did not attend the Martin Luther King Peace and Freedom Breakfast. That's, you know, I was sick during that time. Wasn't feeling well at all. I did make it to the Palace Theater, I think. Maybe not. Things have passed so fast. But stop four was the Exploratorium on South Main Street. Many of you went there. Trail stop five was Marion County Courthouse. Haven't been there on the inside in a while. Trail stop six was Huber Machinery Museum. Trail stop seven was Jacob's Well Historical Marker. Trail stop eight was Harding Memorial. Trail stop nine was GNR Bar and Grill in Waldo, who has that famous fried bologna sandwich. Stop 10 was the Smith Clinic building. So I'm behind. I'm going to have to get information about February and March. Hopefully it's available to me. And the name of the place where I picked that up was downtown at the Travel Beer. I think it's a Travel Beer that I picked those things up. Yes, that's what it was. Okay, now I do like to start my show off with a thought for today. So we're going to see what the thought is for today. It's a lot going on in our city, in our state, and in our country. So let me go to my email. Just bear with me one moment and we will find out what the thought is for today. Can you believe this weather? In February, 51 degrees this morning. I'm thinking, how should I dress before I go out? My husband said, well, I said, what's the temperature? He says, it's 51 already. Are you kidding me? This is the second week of February, and we are still, no, third, and we are experiencing this type of weather? Oh, my. It's kind of unnatural, uncommon for this time of year. What do we do with that? I have no idea. But try to dress accordingly, because it's a light sweater that I put on this morning, but it's kind of hot in this radio studio. Thought for today. Let me see what that says. Being with myself. Let's see what it has to say. Being enlightened means being self-aware. Awareness of yourself means you don't miss anything on the inside of you. You are aware of things like the quality of your thoughts and feelings, of how you sometimes give your power to others, and how your self-esteem occasionally fluctuates. You don't miss anything because you know that knowing yourself is vital to being comfortable with yourself. Are you comfortable with yourself? No? Then be with yourself. Talk to yourself. Listen to yourself today. Take a few moments out having a meeting with yourself. Put yourself in your diary. Put yourself at the top of your to-do list, and right next to it, being with myself. Those are good words to live by. Always look at the man in the mirror before you look at other people or want to condemn other people, or which sometimes we're just really good at, just hello. What happened? What happened? I should have left that alone. Just want to make sure I hit the right button. John, I don't know what I did. Oh my gosh. Oh God. All right, Sean.
To voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
I'm just off. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
I don't want to do that. Or that. Okay, I think I found a problem. Wow, the button wasn't snapped in completely, and I think my arm touched it, and we got disconnected. Oh my, I am so glad we are back on and live. I'm thinking, oh wow, what did I do for the rest of the hour? But anyway, what were we even talking about? Oh, the thought for today, being with yourself. Isn't that the best person to be with, where you can look at what you need to do to grow and be better, and what you need to do to just stop doing, right? That's not working for you and working for other people. Because, you know, when we check out who we are and correct ourselves, we don't have so much time to correct other people, right? Right. So we want to be able to correct ourselves. You know, I those thoughts for today really helped me as well as you. And I hope that, you know, and just being careful and showing God's love to other people. Just being careful about that. So if we check ourselves, then we can, we'll have more time to think about God's love and how to share with other people. Now, there is I would like to share with you today, and it is out of the Bible, and it is Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 12, and it states, "You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune." How often do we clap our hands when we see people that we don't like, we don't want to be around, and we see their misfortune, and we see that, you know, they're being pressured or brutalized, and we feel good about it because we don't like them anyway. We don't want them to be around us, you know, and that is not the thing that God wants us to do. The title of this message is called Choosing Compassion. Now, let's say today is the 19th, 26th. Okay. We're not to make fun of other people. We are to shed God's love. We need the character of God in these last days. Even if it wasn't the last days, never forget who you represent or supposed to be representing. And this story goes like this. A 5-minute montage of snow-related mishaps was the central piece to one episode of a TV show. Home videos of people skiing off rooftops, crashing into objects while tubing, and slipping on ice brought laughter and applause from the studio audience and people watching at home. The laughter seems to be loudest when it appeared that the people who wiped out deserved it because of their own foolish behavior. Funny home videos aren't a bad thing, but they can reveal something about ourselves. We can be prone to laugh at or take advantage of the hardships of others. One such story is recorded in Obadiah about two rival nations, Israel and Edom. When God saw fit to punish Israel for their sin, Edom rejoiced. They took advantage of the Israelites, looted their cities, thwarted their escape. That means interfered with their escape, and those who were trying to escape, what did they do? They captured them and brought them to the people that was capturing, that were after them. Now, these were brothers, okay? So why would you turn in your brother who's trying to escape? Why wouldn't you shield him as they were escaping? But no. The opposite happened. Edom rejoiced and laughed and clapped her hands. Okay, oh, you're getting paid back for what you did to me. You're getting paid back for being in a place that you don't need to be in. You are getting paid back. And that's how a lot of us look at others, is revengeful. Oh, you'll get yours, you know. But not only will they get theirs, we'll get ours. Okay, it just doesn't go one way. It goes both ways. Okay, they took advantage of the Israelites, looted their cities, thwarted their escape, and supported their enemies. That you can find that in Obadiah 1, 13 through 14. A word of warning came through the prophet Obadiah to Edom. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, for the day of the Lord is near for all nations. The day of the Lord is near for everybody. None of us will escape the day of the Lord. When we see the challenges or suffering of others, even if it seems they have brought it upon themselves, we must choose compassion over pride. That is not the time to laugh. That is not the time to, you know, how you half close your fists and shoot your breath on your nails and shine it on your clothes. It is not the time to do that. It is just not the time. It is a no-no. You know, like you tell your infants growing up or your toddlers, no-no. Well, that word used to be prevalent. That word used to stand up. I don't know how strong that word is today. I see a lot of kids don't even pay no attention to that word. No, no. What? They just keep doing what they're doing. Okay. We are not in a position to judge others. Why do we feel so judgmental toward others? And that is the thing we want to do, isn't it? Is to judge other people, make fun of them, and put them down. And who do they think they are? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? We are all God's creation. No matter what color, no matter what size or shape or height, weight, we are all God's creation. How can we elevate ourselves above somebody else? Only God can do that. The kingdom of this world belongs to Him. He alone holds the power of justice and mercy. Right? He alone does that. Let me say that again. He alone holds the power of justice and mercy. Because, you know, like I said earlier, you're glad they got theirs, but you're going to get yours too one day. And I'm going to get mine one day. If I don't continue to look at myself and correct myself and looking at myself and dismissing what's bad about me and put on something that's good that I want to be better at, you know. Because I don't want to fall flat on my face. I've been flat on my face before. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. You know, and there was a time when I was just really, look at other people and say, well, they're going to get theirs one day. And that's true. But you know what? I sure got a lot of mine for who I am or who I was back in that day, you know, living the way that I lived. And I'm sure we all have not always been angels, and I know I have not, but I am definitely not the person I used to be, and that is for sure. I have come a long way, and I have no intentions of going backwards, okay? And it says here, how do you react to the hardships others face? Just something for you to think about. How does a loving, merciful response? What does a loving, merciful response look like? These are questions that we need to contemplate in our own hearts and muddle over and really come to light about where we are as people. Here's the prayer. Merciful God, forgive me for my feelings of self-righteousness. Thank you for your justice and mercy. See, we all need God's mercy. We all need God's grace. We all need God's love. What we don't need is self-righteousness and thinking that we are far above others and we have the right to be selfish, egotistical, downgrading of other people. We do not have the right to do that. But I thought that this was very befitting of the thought for today, for us to look at ourselves, and not just yourself, but look at how you treat other people and how you feel about other people. Maybe you don't know, that don't look like you. How do you feel about them, you know? Do you think that they're worthy of God's grace, of God's love and His justice and mercy? Because, you know, even though Edom laughed at their brother, which was Jacob, and Edom was Esau. Okay. If you follow and reference these things in the Bible, that's who it was. But Esau and Jacob had something against one another because Jacob stole Esau's birthright. But in a way, he did not. Because, you know, I was listening to, I like to watch YouTube because they do have a lot of pastors on there and doing scripture reading. And not only that, getting into different stories. But I can't even remember who said it, but he was saying that Jacob really didn't steal the birthright, because when they were in the womb of their mother, one stuck out, I think his hand, and they tied a ribbon around it, but the hand was drawn back. And Rebekah asked God about that. Why did, you know, what's going on in me? He said, you have two manner of people in your womb and two nations. He said, but the younger will serve the older. So the one who stuck their hand out was the younger, even though he drew it back, and Esau was born first. Naturally, Jacob ended up being the one with the promise. He ended up having the first one's blessings anyway. So it was a God-ordained thing, you know. Even though Esau said, there was some trickery that went on in that, but through the mother and loving one more than the other, and the father, Isaac, loving Esau more than he loved Jacob, and God said, you know what? Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it, because he did not have any regard for being born naturally for his birthright. He was willing to say, okay, I'm hungry, I want to eat, I don't know what a birthright is going to do for me today, because I'm so famished. I will fall dead if I don't get something to eat. So Jacob said, here's this porch, I'll take your birthright, you know. And that's what happened. So he thought really nothing of that birthright in the first place. He was willing to sell it for a bowl of soup. And God looked at that as foolish. No, yeah, foolish or evil. One or the other. Which, you know, whether you look at it as being foolish or selfish, you know. I'm so hungry, you know, which probably a glass of water would have taken care of that for a moment anyway, but that's not the way that it went. You know, it was about, okay, I'm starving to death. You can have this birthright. It's not going to do me any good right now. I need to eat. So, hey, that's what happened. Then he got mad. So, well, he stole my birthright, because the father, even though Jacob came in there with this sleeve on, because Esau was red and hairy, so Jacob's mother had him put on a fur like cloak and put his arm in there, and then let your father feel that, because Esau was, I said, he must have been really, really hairy. You know what I mean? But anyway, he fooled his father, right, by pretending to be his brother Esau. Jacob did that. That's why he had the, they called him the supplanter, you know. But anyway, Isaac gave him all the blessing, which was his anyway. But I don't know if they realized that or not in the first place, or that they didn't have to do it that way, you know, but it happened that way. And he ended up with all the big brothers, the firstborn's blessings. And that started something that trickled down through the ages. Now, even though they met again, I want to read you this real quick. So let me pull this up. I better let Sean know. I fixed the thing. Okay. Never mind. Okay, now let me put this in there. You know, a lot of times I don't even know what I'm going to talk about, as I would have all my stuff out. But one thing leads to another. Now I want to read this to you. Esau and Jacob. Okay. All right, where are we going to go? It's in Genesis 33. Right. 1 through 20. Now, after this happened, and they were so upset. But then later on, after Jacob ran off to get away from Esau, because Esau wanted to kill him. But it says, the meeting between Jacob and Esau, recorded in Genesis 33, 1 through 20, represents one of the most emotionally charged and spiritually instructive moments in the patriarchal narratives. The account reveals the culmination of Jacob's transformation after his wrestling encounter with the angel of Jehovah at Peniel, as well as a demonstration of divine providence in the reconciliation of two estranged brothers. The historical and theological dimensions of this passage display how Jehovah's covenant purposes advance despite human fear, guilt, and past sin. Okay. Where are we? Okay, right here. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel, because he had two wives, and the two female servants, and he put the servants with their children in front. Then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground seven times. Now he coming to his brother humbly now, because he know last he heard of his brother, he was trying to kill him and was looking for him high and low for stealing that birthright. Okay? Are we still talking about compassion? All right? We are still talking about that and looking at ourselves. Okay. So he bowed seven times. His brother's looking at him, and he's looking at his brother until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him, and he embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. They all come humbly, right? Leah, likewise, and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I meet?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Jacob came to his brother humbly, asking for forgiveness. Not only him, but all that was with him bowed before his older brother. But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand, for I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me, and at the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord and Seer." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of that place is called Succoth. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Padam Aram, and he camped before the city and from the sons. And he erected an altar and called it El-Hi Israel. But see, they met, they kissed, they hugged. He asked for forgiveness. Esau seemed to have accepted him. He didn't actually say, "I forgive you." And evidently he did not. Because as the years went on, and the children of Jacob, the descendants, in the year 70 AD was captured, and the descendants of Esau still held on to that story of Jacob stealing the birthright, and they had this animosity against one another still. So when those people came to get him, this is what they did. They took advantage of the Israelites, which was Jacob's people, descendants, because God named him Israel, Jacob, okay? Because he wrestled with God and he prevailed. And he told God, that's what it says, the angel of God wrestled with him. And he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And he said, "This day you will no longer be called the supplanter, the stealer, or, you know, people that do bad things to gain. But today you will be called Israel." And so when they came and they looted their cities, they thwarted their escape, and they supported their enemies. And that's what they did. And God saw fit to punish Israel for their sin. Edom rejoiced after all that those people went through. He laughed at them like, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. You're getting yours, aren't you? Ha, 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 ha." That's what God says. We must choose compassion. Everyone has their day. See, Edom still have not gotten their day yet, but they're going to get their day. It's coming. It's coming. It is coming. And they're still laughing. But their day is coming. A lot of them, those descendants, still do not have compassion on their descendants, of the brothers' descendants, Israel, Jacob. And they're still laughing, and they're still setting traps for them, and they're still misjudging them, and if they can, misguiding them, and if that's not enough, turning other people against them, you know. So those things are still going on. Let us choose compassion today. Let us look at ourselves today and see where we are. Look at your children. Where do you want them to be? What type of adults do you want them to be? Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, which I have, and I know many of you do have descendants. You know what I'm saying? Like your seed, it goes on and on and on and on. Hopefully, prayerfully, I want them to be people that are compassionate for other people. And I also want them to not judge other people unfairly. And I want them to understand they are not in a position to judge other people. But judge yourself. Look at yourself. Who are you? Who can you be? That's what I'm looking for. Can I be better? I want to be better. Who can I be? I want to be better in my life before I leave this world. I want to leave an imprint on this world that I was a woman of integrity, that I was a woman of God, that I was a woman of love and compassion. Not just for mine, but for others in this world. And I think that should be our epitaph. All of us. Choose wisely. Choose what's right and not what's wrong. And choose not to hurt other people unnecessarily. Okay, so it's like a bad habit. And it says, how do you defeat bad habits? By being judgmental or vindictive or not having empathy and compassion for other people. Some bad habits are like tyrants. They crowd the head and heart so strongly that under no circumstances do they wish to move. They have enjoyed their undisputed reign over us and will not depart easily. To defeat them, it's important to keep practicing the silence of introspection and to connect to the eternal reservoir of benevolent energy. Benevolence of God. Hey, the Beatitudes. Remember those Beatitudes in the Bible? You know, sometimes we just need to reconnect with some of the things that are in the Bible and read them. You know, I can't say I've read them lately, maybe last year or so, but anyway, hopefully I said something to encourage you, that you can encourage other people in the day and time that we live in and in our culture. There's many challenges, but some of those challenges we can overcome with God's help. And all I want to say is thank you, Jesus, for another day. For those of you who are listening, I pray that you have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Be careful out there. I heard we're supposed to get 1 to 3 inches Sunday. I don't know how true that is, but Lord bless and say the same. If we are alive, we will find out. But my time is over now. Come back at 11:15. My guest is James Walker. If you want to be in on that show, we welcome you to come back at 11:15. If not,
you're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Dioria, WGN's